bought a bowl. One of them was a Firestone with his name on it. But then that way we could keep her some milk and all, you know, bottles and stuff. But she was breastfed. Both of our girls were breastfed. But you've got to look out for a thing. And I sort of took after my mother and daddy and my raising about how we, that's why I had, when I moved out like that up there, I had my own pigs and hogs and calves and milk and mules. And my daddy got a little old tractor then. He got a little old John Deere tractor, that least one. And then he got that old seed tractor. It was way out there, an old farm hall. That was after, you know, and then before he passed away.
When did he die?
He died in, what, about 48, wasn't it? I believe it was about 1948, I forget now, when he passed away. And
about how old was he?
He was born in 1899. I think he was 49 years old. He was 48 or 49. Yeah, he was 48 or 49 years old. But see, what happened, he used to haul some logs up there and get them sawed, and he'd go get some of those slab-like pieces. When they saw the log, then they saw them sides off and make a plank out of it. Well, he'd get them things as two-bys and strips and bring them back down and nail them together and make some hay racks out in the field. And you put your hay and get it fixed, and then you put it on a drag and come back and throw it on them hay racks. The time and all to take that old hay baler. We had that old wooden one I told you with a thing on it to pull and push down packet. But he went and bought him one where a mule, you pull it out there on wheels and you take it, like a cert mill used to be, a mule go around and around. He took that thing and fixed it where you just go around and around, you know, with it. And what it do, you fork that hay down in there and it would, that thing would push it up when it go around. Push it up. You throw some more, and then you, when you get enough in it, you tie it out with hay baling wire, and then take that bale out, and then you start another. It was time consuming. It ain't like it is now. You can bale 10 bales now while you're baling one back then. Of course, they've got this big round bales, the ounce of the bale now, that they can just go along, and they can gather and gather and gather, and then tie it out. Let it fall, and they got these things now that on tractors and things where you can just lift them bales up and put them on or in a truck and haul it. Back then they were square bales, you had to pick them all up. If you had the money to buy some gloves with, you wouldn't skin your hands as bad, you know. But it's been a wonderful life being raised. It makes me stop and think before I do a lot of things since I was raised like I was. My father didn't drink and all, and we had a went to church, and we had a wonderful life as far as our family, as good as anybody else, I guess.
Where did you go to church?
Up here, well, down in Randolph County, I went to church at Providence mostly, and then we'd go over to Liberty Grove and Prospect where some of the family was there. We came up here, and the first year we lived, we'd go to Ethy Church. We lived close to there, but then when we moved over here and got this land, then we'd go to Mount Pisgah Presbyterian Church.
So are you Presbyterian?
No, I'm. After I was married, my wife was Baptist, and her dad was a preacher. So I went in church with her at Lystry Baptist Church. Is where we go to church, and that's where all of her people and relatives, you know, are buried. Her father, her mother's still living. She's 93 years old in a nursing home now. And my mother, we talked about her a little earlier, but she's about 88 or 89, I guess, or 90. And she's in a nursing home in Birmingham, and she's not doing any good at all. She don't hardly know she's here. But my wife's mother, her brain is still good, and she knows things, but she can't get around and all, and she has fallen. But she can still talk. We're going to bring her home Sunday. Well, today, and my wife's going to fix her. She done had her hair fixed yesterday. determined. We're going to let her go and see the graves and all there where her husband and her two daughters were buried and all of her kinfolk. And last Sunday was where her mother's, where my wife's mother's father and mother was up at Ethy Baptist Church. We had to go up there and take flowers up there. And,
so it was Decoration Sunday?
Yeah, last Sunday it was up there. And on the first Sunday was on the first Sunday was over at Mount Pisgah Church where my father is buried there. We have decorations and flowers, and we've got a lot of good people to keep the cemeteries and things, you know, and we pay them, but we have a lot of people who come in and clean up the churches and cut the yard, but we got people that go to the cemeteries, and that's why you have to get up your flowers around there, a lot of that, because if you have to weed eat and push mower and ride mower, but we want it kept where it's, you know, beautiful. And you can't just leave stuff around and let it grow up around it. A lot of people don't, they won't leave all them flowers there, but you can get things to put on the tombs or something that goes down in a, that sticks down in the ground, it can hold something, a piece of something. But everything runs good. You can sort of plan your strategy and you can usually come out smelling like a rose, you know. Get up there and cut you some trees, if you could, where it falling across there and shovel down, let them go down in there. They wouldn't last many years, you know, because it, and then you'd get in there and take some old lumber and stuff and put it across there and make a bridge. But then we have to have foot logs across them creeks, branches, some of them. And he tried to find a place where he could cut a big old tree across there, and he'd get up there and he'd take some things and nail them with 16 or 20 penny nails on the side, and if he didn't have a cable or some wire, he would take some old vines, you know, like old muscadine vines and old grapevines, and fasten them to them, maybe put them with hay bale or where you could hold, wouldn't fall off in that deeper water up in them places. But them, you could have them, and went over there across, we used to go across that creek I was talking about, and we'd wash the car and all, but we'd get on over there, and we had 22 acres of cotton over there as you go up the hill of hill and out. Had a spring over there, and had a place where you could cook, probably made it out of rocks and stuff, you know, and build a fire and bake some potatoes or something, you know. We used to hill all of our potatoes. I didn't tell you about that, did I? We'd plant sweet potatoes. He'd plant a big old patch of sweet potatoes. And then you'd get out here, you'd have one or two hills. We'd have pines throwing leaves. You'd pile them up in a vertical position up here. And you'd put corn stalks around and some more straw. Then you'd put a top up, put up four posts and put up some old tin or something on top of it where it wouldn't rain. And you had a place you could go down here and scratch and start your place. Then you could push it back full of straw. But you keep your sweet potatoes in there, and then the turnips, he had them out there, side of the road. There's a little ditch bank. He got back up there and dug a hole out and dug a little place out to the side of the ditch. And you put his turnips in there, and he put some tin across it and some sacks maybe in there with straw in them. Then you go out there and you just pull that little sack, he'd put a sack of straw or something to stick up in that hole where the wind wouldn't get in the cold, pull it out, just reach in there and you start to get in them, they'd fall down, you'd get your turnips too. We had, and he'd plant, like I may have told you about, across that creek there where we had the foot log, he'd plant a big old turnip patch every fall. Then we had gardens, I'm telling you, onions, good all kind of onions, and beans, and carrots, lettuce, especially cabbage and collards, you know, we had them, and onions, that's the thing you had to have. We had, let's see, we had, down at the spring where you well would go dry in the early, and you'd have to go down to the spring and wash your clothes, had your wash pots back then, you know, them old steel ones, like I've got one out here. You take your wash pots and build a fire, and when you kill them hogs and make that, boil out that stuff, you know, save your lard, you know, you had this stuff, but you would take, what was I to tell you about that, when you boil out your lard, oh, you make that lye soap. You take some of that stuff and some of them would take ashes. Some of the old grandparents, I remember, they take ashes and do something and put in there and put some lye in it. Make red devil lye soap, they called it. And that's what kind of soap, and you do boil it in the wash pot and you put it out on something and you take, cut it up in humps or bars. And that's what kind of soap you use to wash your clothes with. And but you go buy you some hand soap and like that. And I can remember when eggs was 12 cents a dozen. And I remember when cheese, I believe, was 20 cents a pound. And several of those things that they sold at the store. Sardines was a nickel a can, six for a quarter. We'd buy them sometimes. Pink salmon was 15 cents a can, two for a quarter. Them big tall cans. And I remember when that big old Baby Ruth candy bar in the little store over there close to us, and Papa would go over and share mules sometimes. Had a place, you know, that they'd come over. There's a gin there and a store and a mill. But he'd go over there and then he'd buy me a big old Baby Ruth candy bar for a nickel. It cost you about 40 cents or 50 now to buy one like that. And when Cracker Jacks came out, boy, that was something that was enlightening to life. You would want some Cracker Jacks. And some you want to get one of them little things like this. You mash it, plump, 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 little popper thing, you know, that little thing on it. You want that. But you like that candy bars. And over there, my daddy's cousin, Henry Yarber, he married a Huddles, but it used to be a little old place called Lamar. There was a post office there when we lived there close to it, but they moved it over to Woodland, Alabama then, and they don't have one there longer. And Uncle Joe and Aunt Tal, they lived out there, and he made chairs and baskets and things. But we'd go over there, and my daddy, down below the dam there at the mill, he put in an above it, he put in some fish baskets and catch fish, you know, and we'd eat them. He put out some trot lines and catch some. But over there at that store, you go over and they had knee-high strawberry or grape drinks and stuff, and then Coca-Cola. They wasn't nothing, wasn't many kinds back then. That was in the early 30s. Well, let's see. I guess I was about 6 years old first time I ever went there that I could remember to get me one of them drinks. But sometimes they get their groceries from Carrollton, Georgia up there, which is not too far. Sometimes them big old hoops of cheese, they come in them old wooden things. They've been sitting out, no refrigeration and nothing. They'd molded over it. Well, Henry told Martha, his wife, there, said, Red and Bud want that old cheese to go in them fish baskets.
Now, Bud's your father, right?
Bud Huddleston, yeah. Bud Huddleston's my daddy. Wyatt Hamilton is his name, but everybody called him Bud. But so they gave him one of them big old hoops of cheese, them wooden hoops, and he took it back over to the house and cut down in there. Well, see, around the outside, it wasn't bad unless you cut a place and left it to come on around. And you could just peel that off and had cheese more than we could eat. And then you'd take them pieces and put them in a little something and put them in them fish baskets and catch fish with us.